Okay, so the irreligious chazan. You have a case where a lot of times in out-of-town communities or in other places where there's not such a large from olam, and what often happens is you have a lot of people that make the minyanim who aren't, you know, shomer Torah mitzvos. And again, we're not, you know, I'm not shomer Torah mitzvos, all the mitzvos as well as I should be either. And I'm imagine some of you here aren't as well. We're all growing, but we're talking about someone who's really not shomer Torah mitzvos. Someone who either doesn't know, or doesn't believe, or doesn't have any, doesn't keep Shabbos, doesn't keep Kashrus. Not that he holds of a Mekel Shita or anything, he just doesn't keep Shabbos at all. You know, complete, you know, Amaretz, or complete, you know, irreligious Jew. So can he daven for the Amud? On one hand, you would like to think that you should be encouraged. In Shabbos project we just had, you know, across the globe, is you want to include people who are irreligious, and of course you want to teach them. And what beautiful concept that if someone who's irreligious is davening at your minyan, you would think maybe there's a nice idea that he should daven for the Amud. The question is, what do the sources say? So the Gemara in Tainus talking about on Tainus, on a Tainus, the Gemara says a chazan should have certain virtues. He should, of course, be someone who has enough money in his own home that he doesn't have to be, you know, have these daigas on his mind. He needs to be someone who the Gemara talks about has should ideally be of a certain age, etc., etc. He should be a Talmud Chacham. But then the Gemara says, it's interesting, the Gemara twice listens that it lists an attribute that he should have a house which is full. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, a full house sounds like he should have enough money to support himself. So says the Gemara, isn't that the same thing? Why do you have to repeat itself and say you should not be poor twice? So the Gemara says the second one, but the second one says, Zeo shebeso reka min havera. Not in terms of children, but at least his house should have some, or should be empty from averus. In other words, it's a positive thing that his house is empty in some ways, if the emptiness is for averus. So you see there's a concept that a chazan's house should be free from averus. The Gemara then goes on and says, Amar Abaya, what does it mean, ufirko no'eh? What does that mean? Shelo yatsa lo shem rabi al duso. He shouldn't have ever sinned. He shouldn't be someone who did a lot of sins in his youth and now is doing tshuva. In other words, there's a concept from this Gemara, at least on a tainus, that a chazan should be of an elevated stature, that he has no sins. Okay.
So, according to this, about tshuva?
So, about tshuva, they discuss. We're not going to get into that person. We're assuming now about tshuva perhaps is fine. But let's talk about someone who's
a regular person who chose a bit tshuva.
Okay, so let's assume that that's going to be okay. We'll see in Shulchan Aruch, there may be room for leniencies. But what about if someone who is just a Rasha? He just does bad things. Or not necessarily a Rasha, but he's just an Amaretz. And does sin after sin after sin. So Rashi points out, what does it mean that his house is free from averos? She'ein chamas v'gezel bebeso. So Rashi limits it tremendously and says, well, the only sin that he can't have is he doesn't steal. So he's not. So let's say he doesn't keep Shabbos. Oh, not a problem. He doesn't, you know, I don't know, doesn't keep Kashrus. Not a problem. As long as he's an Erlich, a businessman, you know, he doesn't steal. So that would be sufficient according to Rashi. And the Marsha points out, though, that no, this Rashi is lav dafka. Rashi just picks, you know, Chames and Gezel, maybe, because it's more prevalent. But really, says the Marsha, Rashi is lav dafka, and it would refer to everyone. However, the Mitzvah Eisen on this Gemara pipes up, and he says, no, it does. Rashi is specifically saying someone who does stealing, or someone who steals, cannot daven, because if you steal, the Gemara and elsewhere says that Hashem won't listen to your tefillos. Specifically stealing. So therefore, Rashi, it makes sense. You shouldn't have a chazin who steals, because stealing specifically, you know, inhibits Hashem's, I guess, desire to hear your tefillos. Right? Okay. So fine. How does Shulchan Aruch pass? And that's a little bit of a hack on by the Achronim or on the Gemara, but how does Shulchan Aruch pass? So Shulchan Aruch, first of all, this Gemara was only talking about a tainus. But if you look at Simon Nun Gimel in... In Siman Nun Gimel Dalid, Shulchan Aruch says, not only talking about a tainus. Siman Nun Gimel, as you all know, nothing to do with Hilchas Tainus. Hilchas Tainus is in the tough clips, right? It's not. We're talking about Siman Nun Gimel, the beginning. We're talking about Hilchas Brachos. Says the Mishnah, says the Shulchan Aruch, Shweach Tzibur Sarach Sheyu Hagun. He needs to be hagun. You know, he has to be proper.
Right?
But this is not by Rosh
Hashanah. No, but that's
this
what
is
it
by
says
regular
there.
Chazan.
It says there.
The Ezehu Hagun, exactly. But here it's for regular birchas, right. For regular weekday. The Ezehu Hagun, she reikun me averos. He has to be free from averos. Vishlo yotzesh alav shem ra afi will be oduso. That he didn't even have a bad name in his youth. Vishay anav, etc. Fine. Marutz of etc., etc. Says the Mishnah Berurah. So here, not only do you see that a chazan needs to be of a high stature, says the Mishnah Berurah, that not only could he have not have any averos, but he also can't even daven once. Look at this. He says, because of od, b'shem mishpat tzedek, demishu pasol machmas avera, pasol lios shatz afilu be'akrai. Even once in a while. So now you have the obvious question, that you have a guy who comes in, he's got yard sight. He hasn't been in a shul, right, in 20...
Since last year.
He's fine. Okay. Let's say Nebuch, his parent, just died this year. So he hasn't been in a shul since his bar mitzvah 35 years ago. Now, he knows how to daven. Let's say he has an upbringing where he knows how to read Hebrew. Some of the other denominations teach the sitter enough that they know the basics of how to daven. You know, it's not so hard to daven for the Amud, right? So therefore... Especially if it's a Mariv, you know, you don't have to do Chazar Seshatz. That's even easier, right? So he knows how to daven. He wants to daven for the Amr. Can he daven for the Amr? Sounds like, according to Shulchan Aruch, the answer is no. Mishnah Berurah says he can't even daven on his yard site. Not even once in a while. Even ba'akrai. Even in this, you know, in once happenstance, you know, he once in a while, once a year, cannot daven for the Amr. That is what the Mishnah Berurah says. Okay, so now the obvious question is, so what's... How do you define someone who's free from averus? So what averus are we talking about? So you're going to tell me maybe someone who's mechal Shabbos. Okay, I agree with you. What about someone who doesn't keep kashrus or does married to someone who's, let's say, you know, he shouldn't be married to. Let's leave it at that. You know? Right. So let's say he's married to someone he's not supposed to be married to. So him also I understand. What about someone who just doesn't keep, you know, he shaves his head with a razor? He included, Rabbi Avadi Yosef says, he's also considered a Baal Avariyah. Says the Ber Moshe, if his wife doesn't cover her hair, it's the Ber Moshe, I'm not expressing any opinion about this, but the Ber Moshe says, his wife doesn't cover her hair, also is considered an Avariyah for this thing. Now we're talking about where someone does it b'mezah. We're not talking about someone where, oh, he says, oh, my Rebbe Paskins this and this, or I've got a shita to rely upon, which says this and this. Presumably, we're talking about someone who does something, bimezit, he says, I know there's a halacha, and I don't care about that halacha, and I therefore, you know, and now I'm not believing.
You say covering the hair. Now, that's a strange question, because what do you consider covering it?
Right, so I'm not going to get it.
No. I'm trying to be very specific.
Yeah.
She covers, doesn't cover the hair in the street.
Yeah.
I understand. But she comes to shul, she has respect. Right, so she comes
correct. And there's shittas for everything,
listen,
of course.
My wife comes
no, for sure. For sure. Now, I'm not expressing any opinions about this. I'm just quoting you what the Ber Moshe's example was. But, like, it's interesting, you know, what example of an Avera you decide to pick, you know, about what considers someone who's an Avera. And if you have a Shita that you hold upon, then you're obviously not doing an Avera B'mezit. I think what the Ber Moshe was trying to highlight is that if you're doing something because you think, you know that you're supposed to be doing X, and you decide to do Y because you don't want to believe in X, so that becomes... Okay, so Yetzahara already, maybe there's a Heter for. So now all we have, now we've defined what Averas we were talking about. But now my question is, okay, so we defined all the main averus. But now are there any heterim for someone who's just irreligious? He never knew, learned, he didn't have the benefit of going to Beis Yaakov, or she didn't have the benefit of going to Beis Yaakov, and he didn't have the benefit of going to a yeshiva katana. So now what's the halacha? Does that person also constitute someone whose house is, you know, not empty of averus or not? So there's a famous tshuva that everyone quotes over, which if you look at the tshuva inside, doesn't really say what everyone quotes it over as. Everyone says, oh, the Malamed Lahoel, he was very mako. Rav David Hoffman, who lived in the end of the 1800s, early 1900s in Berlin, he has a tshuva. Everyone says, oh, he's very mako. But if you look at the tshuva, what really happened is, he tells over a story, that there were guys in his neighborhood who were irreligious, they kept their store open on Shabbos. Okay? This is the early, you know, controversies going on in early 1900s. Kept their store open on Shabbos. And they, so assumingly they were Mechal Shabbos. So let's assume that they know they're Mechal Shabbos, and they decided, I don't care, this is what I have to do, this is what I'm doing. They come to the Rav David Hoffman, they say, can we daven for the Amud on our yard site? And Rav Hoffman says, no. He's Mamad Hall writes, I say, no. I sent him to the other shul. So they went, I think the shul was called Chever Shas. I don't know, I think that's the Chever something, but it was a very, very frum sounding name. Sends him to this very frum sounding name shul, yeah, on the other side of town. And the rabbi there, who has been the Gabbayim, he says, were very learned, let them daven for the Amud. So the Malamed Lahu says, I need to figure out what the reason is why that Gabbai would allow them to daven. And he says, the pshat is because they must be that it's Tinok Shenishba. Everyone says, you know, if someone grew up in captivity, so then therefore they're not considered a full Avarian. So he says, these people obviously didn't have a proper yeshiva background in order to give them the knowledge or the desire to keep Shabbos. Therefore, he says, it would be permitted. Also, he says, maybe the fact that everyone's doing it. So if everyone's doing it, then it kind of like decreases the level of the Isser. In other words, if all your friends are keeping their store open on Shabbos, and you decide to keep your store open on Shabbos, so yeah, it's still Mechil Shabbos, but it's not as egregious Chil Shabbos, because everyone else is doing it, and perhaps it doesn't become as Bifar Hesiot, he wants to suggest. And then he writes, he heard that in America, they allow non-from being Jews or non-people who keep their store open on Shabbos to dive in for the Amud. So he says, oh, this must be a smach, you know, that people do it. Now people quote over this Malamed Wahowel as the main heter for allowing irreligious people to dive in for the Amud. So it's a little bit schwer heter, you know, if you're basing it all upon that. That's number one. Second heter, they quote the Rivo Sephraim, is Ephraim Greenblatt Zetzal. He quotes the Talmud Muvak of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He writes that he asked Rav Moshe Feinstein this question because apparently he says Nishalti, I was asked by a conservative president of the local conservative shul who had yardside, and I guess the conservative shul didn't have a minion, so he wanted to come to. It's unclear from the tshuva if he's coming to Reb Greenblatt's shul or the person who asked him the question said he was going to his shul, and Reb Greenblatt said he doesn't want to deal with this shaila, so he's going to pose it to Rav Moshe. So he says, I asked Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe, he said, wrote me a very, very short tshuva, because Rav Moshe obviously didn't want to speak right publicly about this issue. It's very tough controversy. He didn't want to like start up with people. But Rav Moshe said, you know what you should do? Have him dav ma'ashra yuvalitzion. So this way, it's not the worst thing. So they're not ma'ashra yuvalitzion. So you're not making any brachas, you're not really saying so much. So it's one kaddish, right? So, But the question is, what about mincha? That always happens, you know, in office settings. What about you do with mincha? So let's say a guy wants to have a mincha for the Amud. So Rav Moshe doesn't talk about if that would be allowed or not. Although he does say you would be allowed to answer Amen in Yesh Merabah if this person who is... But there at least it's talking about a conservative person who's someone who presumably is also a Tinok Shenishba. But still Rav Moshe seems to be Machmer, but at least he's the most Mako of the other ones that I saw. Because everyone else I saw seems to say he really should try to push him off as much as possible. Give him Psukei de Zimra maybe. Maybe, you know, that's the best thing to do. The only other heter I saw, we'll just end with this, there's not many Mar Mechomus on it, because everyone seems to be pretty stark, you know, L'chumra, about this topic, although this Rav Moshe is a smach, and you really have this Mohammed Wahawal as a smach, l'hater. Also, you could say, if he's really a Tinok Shenishba, if he really doesn't know, if there's someone who really grew up, and he doesn't know anything, so then there's more of a smach to rely upon, if someone, as opposed to someone who's really, you know, what it was from, and now, you know, doesn't believe, or has apikarsim tendencies. If there's someone who fundamentally doubts God, and you know he doubts God, you know, you don't have to give him a faher before he davens, but if someone is published or written, you know, about his non-belief, so then it's harder to give him the opportunity to daven. Just one second, I just want to end off, and then you'll ask me a question. 1 second. Last Mar Malcolm I saw, I found this, you know, Mar Malcolm, it's interesting Mar Malcolm. It's from Mare HaBazak, which is Rav Shaul Yisraeli, who is the former chief rabbi of Yerushalayim or Yisrael in the 60s, 70s. I forget if it was Yerushalayim or Yisrael. But anyway, he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And he writes, he was involved with Eretz Chemda, the Yeshiva Eretz Chemda, Rabbi Carmel also. So they have a tshuva, which is online, you could find. He writes, then they ask, what about a rabbi who's in the middle of nowhere? He's in the middle of mid-America. You know, and I know someone who was like this, who was the only front person in the whole town. And he's got 300 people in his shul, and 297 of them are completely not Shomer Shabbos. And they don't even make believe they're Shomer Shabbos. So what are you going to do? So you want to get a minyan every day. So you have a Shacharis minyan. And sometimes you can gather these people to come. Yeah, you makarev them to come, and they often come. You know, you have a rotation. Can they daven for the Amud? Or does this rabbi have to daven for the Amud every single minyan, you know, for the rest of his life now? Right?
Could he
So let's assume it could be mitzarif for a minyan. If Moshe has a head to that you could be mitzarif, then bishas adchak, mitzarif for a minyan. Let's say, make it easier. You have 10 other people, 10 from people, and now you want to build up your minyan, you want to bring other people in, but the majority of the minyan is going to be irreligious people. Can one of them daven? So the Maria Buzik says, he says, Me'ikar ad-din ein lases l'machal Shabbos, fa'afilu over b'kviyas al shara averus. You shouldn't give someone who's machal Shabbos or someone who violates on a consistent basis averus, or redis l'fnei teva afilu b'akrai. Okay, that's the Machmir line. His Maker line is, V'ulam, b'glal ha'matzav of pikuach nefesh ruchni. That's in quotation marks. Pikuach nefesh ruchni. Which is, I guess, spiritual pikuach nefesh. With tzibur hametuar, to this type of a tzibur, ein limchos pidei akihila hanoheges, lastes machawi shabbos, oredis of neateva, ula yesh lismoch al svaris lekula. Fine. And he says, oh, it's better to give him, just let him daven psuki dezimra. Fine. Okay, but what's his svar lekula? So he wants to suggest, it's a big, big kula, and we'll end with this kula, is he says, maybe it's subjective, in the sense that, look, the whole reason why they, or the main reason why they shouldn't daven for the Amud is because it's going to look bad for the tzibur. Look, I don't want someone who's, you know, not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs to be my emissary. But if you've got 99% of the room,
it's the same.
Is the same. So maybe, says in the footnotes here, he writes, maybe that should be a heter to let them daven. Because if the whole reason is that they're representing the tzibur itself isn't Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, or majority of the tzibur isn't Torah Mitzvahs, maybe you should allow them to daven. But that only really applies if the majority of the tzibur is not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. That doesn't apply if you have a one guy who's Yartzeit who wants to come in and daven. That, and I'm not fully sure I understand that heter. I guess if they're relying on this emotion, let them daven Asher Valetzion. But for Milcha, I didn't really see anyone say straight up, if someone's not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, and he's not, you know, definitely doesn't believe, definitely is totally there, I'm just there to honor my father, you know, I definitely don't believe at all, then, you know,
no,
I don't know exactly.
He does believe, that's when he comes, but he's
Oh, if you say he's believing and he does, he's just not able to fulfill all the mitzvahs, then maybe, I don't know. But let's say someone says, I don't believe, I'm here because my dad made me promise on his deathbed, I was going to say, Kaddish from it. It's a stupid thing, but I'm here anyway. So does that person die for the moment? It's hard to find that. Maybe there is, I'm not opposed to the gas.